Good evening. It's good to see you guys here on Wednesday night. Tonight our topic is Help Me, I'm Discouraged. So we're going to be talking about discouragement. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Saturday. Charlie, our grandson, came over and watched the Alabama game with me and Eddie. And we were pretty discouraged when the game was over. And then Robin Sewell has the audacity to come in tonight with an Ohio State. And I think he had one Sunday, too, so I'm just saying, calm that down. I'm praying for her. I am. So sometimes we can have things like that are just, you know, slightly discouraging. And then other times we have circumstances in our lives that are very difficult and things are weighty and discouraging. Maybe we've been sick or maybe it's a relationship problem. There can be all kinds of things that take our strength and our courage away. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. Jesus talked about not being weary. Paul talks about not being weary, don't be discouraged, don't lose heart, don't be weary. But sometimes that's just where we find ourselves because of whatever's happening in our lives. So tonight we're going to look at this and look at some scriptures and find out hopefully some ways that we can come up over those circumstances and overcome whatever discouragement is happening in our lives. So we're going to look at this scripture, and then as we go through the message, we're going to come back to it in parts and take it apart. So this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." And basically, he's commanding, we do not lose heart. "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Notice that. We're going to come back to that part. "For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Very powerful section of scripture, gives us a lot to work through tonight. So as we talk about what does it mean to lose heart, we notice that there is an internal battle between our natural man and our spiritual man. So here Paul was talking about that outward man. And then he said, but day by day we can be renewed and strengthened in our inner man. So when we lose heart, it might be because of things that are happening in our outward man. As I said, we might be tired. We might be discouraged. We might be sick. There might be things happening in our outward man. But it's through our inward man that we can gain victory and strength and not be discouraged. This word, where it says, where Paul said, we do not lose heart, the word for lose heart there in the Greek is this word, Eddie, kakio, he's my Greek person. Thank you. It literally means to be ill-spirited, to be cowardly, or to fail in heart. So cowardly, to fail in heart, you see the discouragement, you see the downness there. It speaks of emotional and spiritual exhaustion. And notice this, that leads to quitting. So it's not just talking about being exhausted or tired, discouraged, or losing heart, but it's talking about a process where you get in this discouragement and it can lead you to the point of quitting. So I'm sure many of us have been there at times. And then it's the danger of giving up the fight. So again, this is this idea of discouragement, losing heart that Paul's talking about. It's not a benign thing. It's a very weighty, dangerous thing because it leads you to give up, to quit, to abandon the ministry that the Lord has for you, to cease praying because the results are not immediate. Jesus talked about that, and he gave us the story about the judge and the woman coming to him over and over again. And he said, don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. So the idea of losing heart here is very familiar to us as we talk about discouragement. Well, all of us have peaks and valleys, right? So we all have mountaintop days. We all have times when things are going great and things are wonderful. And then we have valleys. So what do we do in the valley is very, very important. So I'm going to give you some examples of some people in the Bible who had mountaintops and peak experiences and valley experiences. So I love David because he's so real. In all the Psalms, he just pours out his heart and he tells us how discouraged he might be or how depressed he might be or how upset he is. And then he works through that and comes to the point where he's talking about the promises of God and the strength of God. So let's look at this. This is when David is young. You know this story. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. What a powerful mountaintop experience. And David did use that experience later in his life. We know that he rehearsed those great victories that he had. But then later we find this. David was greatly distressed. The people spoke of stoning him. They had had a terrible disaster. And the people were upset with him. And the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, because they'd been taken away captive and their city had been burned down. And then it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. So David had a great many mountaintop experiences, and he also had some valleys, more than one. I was thinking about other people in the scripture that we see this with. For example, Elijah defeated 450 prophets, and then what happened? He ran from Jezebel. He ran. And he wanted to die. He was very discouraged. He was tired. He'd been in great spiritual battle. And then he was exhausted. And he just wanted to curl up and die. So he had a great mountaintop experience. And then he had a valley. I thought about Moses. Great deliverer of the people of Israel. And then later, he's so disgusted with the people because they're complaining one time right after another to him. And so he goes from great mountaintop experiences to valleys. And we all have these kinds of situations in our lives. Hannah, we see her when she was childless and she's beseeching the Lord for a child. And so that was her valley. And then later she has the mountaintop when the Lord gives her Samuel. So it can go both ways there. The scripture talks about in Daniel that the enemy wants to wear down the saints. So he wants to get you under the circumstances and make you feel discouraged and make you weary. But we are commanded to not grow weary, to not be discouraged. And there are some things we can do about that. We're going to look at that in a minute. So what can you do if you find yourself losing heart? And how can you know if you're losing heart? First of all, you might have circumstances, and I mentioned that. And that can just be a million things. It could be your finances. It could be your business. It could be your relationships. It could be so many things that are just causing you to feel underneath it all. It could be a loss that's happened in your life. When we have a loss, it's very difficult, and it can be very discouraging. And that can be a different kind of discouragement because when we lose someone who is a believer, we are supposed to then have that hope that they are with the Lord. But loss is very, very difficult. Loss of a job, loss of a relationship, emotions. What about your emotions? If you're losing heart, you might find that you have a persistent sadness that you haven't had before, that you just can't seem to shake off. This is one way to know I'm not in a good place. I'm becoming discouraged. What about exhaustion? Ever find yourself just exhausted and feel like you can't go on? You don't have enough strength for the next day? Feelings of worthlessness are a way to know you're losing heart. You just don't feel like you're worth it. That's the enemy talking to you, but he does talk to us that way. Isolation. We can find ourselves isolated. And this is one of the things the enemy does when you are discouraged, is he tries to isolate you. We know the scripture says that the enemy comes about like a roaring lion seeking those that he could devour. And we know what a lion does is separate the weak one from the rest. And that's what the enemy does. So when you are discouraged, the enemy will often isolate you, cause you to withdraw from other people. We need each other. We know this biblically. We gain strength by being together, coming together in a worship service. How many times have you come to worship service maybe feeling discouraged, and then you just leave in a whole different place because you gain strength from other believers? Just being in the atmosphere of other believers. It's very important. So be careful if the enemy is trying to isolate you. He can cause you to lose heart. Whoops, got to go back, sorry. Temptations, what about if you're just having temptations that you haven't been having in a while, and all of a sudden there's this onslaught of temptations? Oftentimes we know that that is the enemy. When your mind is suddenly blasted with temptations, and it just is like Velcro, and you can't get it off, and it's just coming from here and there, whether it's temptation to discouragement or a temptation to sin, these temptations can be an indication that you're not in a good place as far as your heart goes. Frustrations. Are you finding yourself angry, frustrated? That's something we have to work on. Escapism is something I see a lot with people that I work with. Maybe they want to escape into alcohol or drugs or porn or video games or whatever it is. Just escape from whatever's happening in their life so they don't have to think about it, don't have to face it, don't have to look at it. These are ways that you can know you are losing heart. Maybe fatigue is another one. So how can we encourage ourselves if we find ourselves in these places? Because we are not powerless. Now, the enemy wants you to believe you're powerless. He wants you to think when you're discouraged that nobody cares. There's nothing you can do. There's no way out. Have you ever felt that way? Somebody feels that way. Yes. But we are not powerless when it comes to discouragement. There are many things that we can do. And tonight we're going to look at a few of them, but there's a lot you can do to deal with discouragement and shake that off your life. First of all, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to give you a list of things. We're going to take these scriptures, and then we'll pull some things out of it in a list to look at some things that you can do. So Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So in that scripture, there are several things that we can use to encourage ourselves. And then Paul, writing to the Corinthians, this is back first verse that we talked about. He said, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are seen, not seen, are eternal. So how do we use those scriptures to encourage ourselves? First of all, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord much as David did. So some of the ways that David encouraged himself was worship, right? We know that he was a psalmist and he sang songs to the Lord. He wrote songs to the Lord. He encouraged himself in that way. That is the way that you can encourage yourself. If you listen to music, they tell us you're far less likely to be depressed and discouraged, the right kind of music. Worship music can really lift you up above the circumstances. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. The scripture that we looked at from Ephesians, Paul prayed a lot of things for the Ephesians, and one of the things he prayed was that they would have wisdom. So when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about seeing things from God's perspective. So when you're under the circumstances and you're discouraged, it helps to say, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? Where are you in this? We might not know immediately, but we need to ask him for his viewpoint, his perspective, because he has a lot to offer us that will help us to get out of discouragement. We need to pray for revelation. Some of you heard me tell this story before, but when we were in Haleville and we left the Baptist church and we built a house, and it was just a glorious season. God was doing so many wonderful things. And we were about a year and a half into this season, and we began to sense God telling us that he wanted us to move to Florence. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I got my house. I'm all settled. This is so wonderful. It was early one morning. I think Andrew was a senior, and he had gotten up and gone turkey hunting. And I was sitting in his room because he had a little sofa there. It was a quiet little room, and I was sitting in there and praying, and I was struggling through this. So I'm like, Lord, you know, I see these things it looks like you're saying, but yet I don't want to do this. And I looked in the room because this had been a really special room that we had built for Andrew, and it had this tongue-and-groove wood, and he had all his deer heads, and it was his little beautiful room. And I was looking around, and I said, Lord, how can I ask my kids to give this up? I don't want to move again. I said, how can I replace this? And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, with the treasures of righteousness. And I was stopped in my tracks because it wasn't my language. It wasn't something that I came up with. I knew that it was God. And when he said that to me, I had an instant surrender in my heart. I was like, okay, I can do that. And many years later, when we were in the old building and Andrew had his office there, his first office, and he'd put this tongue and groove wood in there. And one day I was just in there, and the Lord said, look, here we are in treasures of righteousness, things that you had no idea were going to happen. It was a revelation that the Lord gave me that gave me strength to step into what God was saying and to overcome the circumstances that had me discouraged. We can pray for spiritual understanding. This is very important. I love the song that Rachel was singing tonight. And Kimberly, all those just went right with what I was teaching tonight. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Help us see what we can't see. There are things we can't see, things we can't know. But God can give you spiritual understanding in whatever you're going through. The next one is walking by faith and not by sight. So this is a very powerful idea because this is really the key to how we can overcome discouragement, is by living from our faith, living from that spiritual part of who we are. Paul was writing later to Timothy, and he was in prison. He was facing trial and death, and he said to Timothy, God stood with me. He knew by faith that even though his circumstances were dire and he was probably about to die, that God was standing with him and God was not going to abandon him until God was ready for him to go home. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Because what we can see is very limited. What we can understand in the natural is very limited. But when we get that spiritual understanding, it takes us to a whole new place that we have understanding that we didn't have before. We meditate on scriptures. This is, as you know, very, very powerful. You take a scripture. You can ask God to give you scriptures related to your circumstance. You can Google them, use your concordance, come up with scriptures that have to do with where you are and what you're going through. And then you meditate on them. You pray them. You make them personal. You put your name in them. You just make those scriptures your food. And as you do that, that spiritual part of who you are gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And that outward part of who you are begins to fall away. And you're living from your spirit. We can consciously choose to rejoice. So again and again in Scripture, we're told we can choose to rejoice. Rejoice always. Paul and Silas were in jail. And they sang songs and rejoiced. Now, I don't know that I would have been singing songs and rejoicing, but I really respect Paul and Silas for singing. So I think I would have been, oh my, I think I would have been pretty discouraged. But you can choose to rejoice. The scripture tells us, and I think Eddie used this one Sunday, we set our mind on things above. We can choose to rejoice. We can choose a spiritual focus, but it requires an intentional choice on our part. When those thoughts are coming our way, those discouraging thoughts, those discouraging emotions, we can push those away and we can choose the things that will strengthen us. And it's very important that we do that, otherwise we're not going to get out from under that feeling of discouragement. So we can choose to rejoice. I was talking to someone last week, and they had some really bad circumstances. Their business wasn't going very well. Her vehicle, the transmission had gone out. It's going to be quite expensive. And then her husband's transmission went out, similar kind of vehicle. And so, I mean, it's pretty discouraging. $7,000 for a transmission. And this being somebody I had talked with and worked with a while, I knew a little bit about their circumstance, and I said, well, what if you could go back to where you were 15 years ago and you knew where you were today, which is with this woman there, she's pretty prosperous, and I'm like, so what if you could go back there and look at where you are today? You actually have the money to fix these vehicles. Is that true? Because I knew that they did. Yes, that's true. And all these things that have happened in your life that 15 years ago, you had no vision for. You didn't believe could happen. Could you choose to rejoice even though this is not fun? This is not good. Could you choose to overcome in these circumstances? I wasn't trying to correct, I was just trying to help see a different perspective. And it was helpful because it was truth. So we can consciously choose to rejoice. And we can discern temporal from the eternal. I was thinking about Amanda Wilde when I was thinking about this temporal and eternal thing. Many of you know Amanda, who recently went to be with the Lord. She was a precious member of Grace House who had a lot of illness, but had the most positive perspective probably of anybody I've ever seen, all the way to the end. Even when she knew she was dying, she was happy, she was smiling, she was positive, she was trusting the Lord, she was talking about her faith in the Lord, and she had determined that even if it was the end, she was stepping right into glory and she was going to be happy with that. She chose an eternal perspective instead of a temporal perspective. Another one of our members who recently died was Dr. Buddy Meeks, and he was here like 95, and he was here like 3 weeks before he died, and he wanted to open the doors and greet people. He was on dialysis and struggling with his health, but he wanted to give and have an eternal perspective, and he was so joyful in those very last days of his life. So we need to discern things that are temporary and what is eternal. Because the eternal thing is where we need to get our eyes fixed on what is eternal. Now, that scripture that we looked at that said, your light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, that was Paul who was writing that. And we know that Paul went through quite a lot. He was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead. He said perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of countrymen, perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all these other things, what comes upon me, my deep concern for the church. Paul went through a lot. But he said this was light affliction. Because he knew that this light affliction was doing something inside him. He said it was working in him a more eternal weight of glory. And that word working means producing. So he said, this affliction that's come upon me is actually producing something in me that's eternal and glorious. It has a weight of glory. So when we think about the temporal and the eternal, we need to realize that many of the things that we go through in this life are bringing an eternal weight of glory into our spirit if we allow them to do that. So we must choose an eternal perspective, even though our temporary perspective might mean that we're sick or we're discouraged or we have a financial issue or whatever else is happening. There is an eternal perspective that will help you get over your circumstances if you will choose it. When you think about Christ's finished work, the promise of resurrection, this eternal weight of glory, these are not things that we can see physically. They are invisible, eternal, spiritual things. But that is where we must put our focus. If we don't do that, we lose strength. We lose our courage. We lose heart. We become weary. And when that happens, we're more vulnerable to the enemy. And we can get disconnected from this ministry that the Lord has given us. So it's very important that we choose these eternal focuses. Your troubles are not light because they don't hurt. They are light compared to the eternal glory that awaits you. So it doesn't mean you're not hurting. It doesn't mean you're not suffering. It doesn't mean there aren't circumstances that are difficult. But it does mean that those things are light, momentary, passing, temporary, compared to what the Lord has for you, an eternal weight of glory. So the promise of the gospel to you is this: though your outward man is perishing, your inward man is being renewed day by day. So notice that. Day by day. So that tells us we don't need to wait. When we start feeling discouraged, we don't need to wait until it's just gotten us down so terribly. Day by day, we need to have this eternal focus. Day by day, we set our minds. Day by day, we choose to rejoice. Day by day, we make these choices that take us up and out of discouragement. And we can choose that. In essence, not losing heart is really an act of faith. It's an act of your faith. So when you feel discouraged, remind yourself, I'm not living by what I see, but I'm going to live by my faith. I'm going to choose to live by faith. Choose to trust God's character, God's promises, because God will never fail you. He will never let you down. He's never going to leave you. He's promised that whatever he started in you, he's going to bring it to completion. So the ultimate work, you can trust in God's character to bring you through whatever you're in. You can trust in his promises and stay focused on that no matter what your circumstances are. You must remember that the end of your story is not your current struggle. That's not going to define you. But with God's ultimate victory, that's where the end of your story is. God's ultimate victory. He promises that to you. If, like Amanda, you leave this world without your healing, you step right into glory with a healed body. God's ultimate victory is yours. And this daily renewal can happen for you tonight. It can begin tonight. So I want the worship team to come back and our prayer team members to come. And if you've been struggling with discouragement, for whatever reason, sometimes you're just tired. And sometimes we know that we're just exhausted and tired, and maybe it's going to get better in a few days when we get some rest. But many times you may actually be under attack from Satan. He may be trying to wear you down. Your circumstances are trying to wear you down. But you have a choice. And tonight you can choose to get into agreement with what God says about your life, what he says about your future, what he says about your circumstances. So as these prayer team members are here tonight, and as you stand, and our worship team leads us in a song, if you've been discouraged or if you have any other need, these people are here to pray with you. That is another one of the things that we can do when we're discouraged, is the Bible teaches us that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, and that we confess our struggles to one another so that we can be healed. So there's this powerful synergy that happens when we pray with other people. So we invite you to come tonight, whatever your need is, as the worship team leads us. Worship him together. Jesus.